welcome to episode 179 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that turning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, let us know. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Elizabeth, and Laura. What could be better than traveling with your best friend?
Me?
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about.
What happens when your best friend has four paws and a tail?
Oh, that's not me.
Well, this week we're talking about all the logistics involved when you want to fly the fur-friendly skies with your BFF. And who better to tell us about it than somebody who just did it?
Yay, new puppies.
Lindsay got a new baby. Oh, you should do a plug for his Instagram channel, too, because I think that's pretty cute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's going to have more followers on Instagram than me pretty soon.
So what's his Instagram?
It's Watson on Whidbey.
Watson on Whidbey.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and tell our
hashtag
audience.
Puppies of Instagram.
Not everyone knows why you just flew with a dog. So tell us the story of Watson.
So we are at a chaotic point in our life, and I decided, well, let's just get a puppy. He's an adorable little midlife crisis. I saw his picture, and I fell in love, and he happened to be in Missouri. So I had to figure out how I was going to get him from Missouri to Seattle. And, of course, the first option the breeder suggested was to fly him via cargo on United. To ship him alone, you know, unaccompanied minor.
Unaccompanied suitcase, basically, right?
and pick him up at the airport. And I just couldn't wrap my mind around doing that to a little baby. So I figured out a way to piggyback it onto a trip Sandy and I were taking and swing by Kansas City. on the way back and pick him up. And so she met me at the airport and I flew Alaska Airlines. And I was able to carry him in a carrier on board. And, I didn't realize until I started this process of researching to fly with him, all of the things that were kind of involved and all the things I would be worrying about. Was he going to be small enough? Was he going to be too fat?
Was he going to grow more? Was he going
to... Yeah, exactly. So each airline has its own requirements for flying with pets as to the type of pets that you can fly with. Alaska had no problem flying a dog in the cabin. I had to call, of course, in advance and book my ticket and his as well. To pre-reserve because they only allow a certain amount of spots on each flight for pets. Mm-hmm. And they had to make sure that there was not already too many pets flying on that flight. And then the next thing they tell you, you have to get, he's supposed to have a health certificate from, if it's a full-grown dog, it needs to have had a health certificate from your vet within 30 days before of travel. But for a brand new puppy, like in this situation, it has to have seen a vet within the last 10 days. So I had to have that. He had to have his rabies and everything. And so I needed to have a special crate that fit the size requirements. And of course, each airline has different size requirements for the crate because they're meant to fit under the seat in front of you. And they want your dog to be comfortable enough to stand up and turn around and lay down comfortably without anything hanging out. The stewardess on board the flight that I was on is telling me a story about a woman who had a German Shepherd kind of like folded in half.
Oh my gosh.
In a carrier underneath. Yeah. So don't be that lady. So I was a little worried because he is a bulldog puppy, English bulldog, and he's growing pretty fast. And, he was gaining weight quite rapidly
as you held him.
And so, he, he weighed about 19 pounds, and with the carrier, they're supposed to weigh 20. But so I think the vet was being really generous with his weight, because actually when we got him, we took him to our vet school, he only weighed like 17 and a half. But the breeder told me he weighed 19 pounds, so I was freaking out. Like, he's already 19 pounds. If he gains like 2 pounds, I won't be able to fly with him. They're going to weigh him. And, so I get to the airline. Here's the other thing about this. I had never met him before. I was going to pick up a brand new puppy. He had never seen the inside of a kennel, a carrier, let alone a lead or a harness. And if you are flying with your dog, of course, if they've never been in a carrier, you want to make sure that they are acclimated to it. Because I spent about 4 hours in the airport getting the dog used to getting in the carrier without freaking out. So if you have the luxury of doing that in advance, or having the breeder maybe get them used to being in a kennel, that would definitely help you quite a long ways. I used Sturdy Pet carrier, because they have the flexi bars on the top, so you can push the top down and slide it underneath the seat, and there's a little lip on each airplane seat, kind of the kick plate, they call it, underneath the where you put your feet. And once it's under that, the seat kind of goes up, so there's more room underneath. So I had kind of a unique bag that kind of expanded to fit the exact space underneath the seat in front of me to give him the most room. So yeah, we had a little fun time in the airport getting used to the carrier. I had to get him used to his harness and a leash, and so he had a lot of firsts all in one day. And then I think he was probably Instagram famous already by the end of that day, because he had about 100 people stop and want to take a picture of him.
What did you do about him potty?
Yeah,
I took him outside. Like, I had a pee pad with me too, but I took him outside across the street to the little pet area. And I know some airports do have pet relief areas inside. I also did, at another point in time, I had the pee pad on the floor in the women's restroom with a bolt food and water to feed him, because I was there for quite some time and I didn't want to completely deprive him of nourishment for, you know, 5 hours before we got on the plane. So, I fed him right away and then made sure that he had, you know, tried walking him around outside, walking around inside, trying to get him used to his leash, and it ended up working out pretty well. He did take, you know, the rule is that you're not supposed to take them out of the carrier when you're flying. They have to stay inside at all times, and the carriers themselves have to be not only the specific size, but they have to have at least 2 openings for ventilation. So I got one that had 4, but he could see me and he could stick his head out the top, and he just, his eyes were just, you know, he didn't do too well with the altitude once we were up. And yeah. So the brachiocephalic dogs, the little smushed face dogs, they can have sometimes breathing issues. This is part of the reason why I didn't want to put him in cargo.
Yeah.
And you can't, I couldn't even have put him in cargo with Alaska if I wanted to, because they do not, he's on the restricted breed list for cargo. So there are all these other, you know, they have a breed restriction, each airline has its own breed restriction list. United, I think, is the only one that does fly those smushy face dogs in the cargo area. But then they also have what's called temporary pet embargoes for different times of year where they will not check pets and baggage. So it's really something you have to be mindful of when you're going, trying to make arrangements to fly your pet. Just for example, around the holidays, around November, around December 14th to January 3rd, or November 16th to the 28th.
You know, a couple years ago there was a strike, and I forget if, I don't think it was an airline, I think it was an airport. I feel like it was Philadelphia or something, like a big airport, that the baggage carriers went on strike during the holidays. And one of my friends was going through that airport and said that there were people who were freaking out because they couldn't get to their pets that they had put in the cargo. I would, yeah, that's something you'd have to really think long and hard about, flying your pet in cargo. But
Lindsay, some of them, like JetBlue, has, you know, some of them have, they'll bring you a card to let you know your animal made it on board. They're, you know, and they, re- really do go above and beyond. Like, United gets really great marks of breeders as preferred to, as one of the airlines to fly. And if you had to fly in cargo, I think that's the one that I would have used. I would have flown United if I had absolutely had to check in cargo.
Are they in any kind of pressurized cabin though? Or is it?
Yeah. So they have air controlled, United has air controlled cabins, pressure controlled, pressure control compartment, and they regulate the temperature. And I think that's why they're allowed to fly the smushy bases.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
my friend Peter, who was on another podcast, who's the pilot. Mm-hmm. He has a beagle. He's 3 years old. And they take the beagle with them. Like, his husband lives in, parents live in Florida. And they fly down and they put Brody, the beagle, in cargo on American.
Mm-hmm.
So, he must feel pretty good about it. Yeah. He's flying those planes all the time, so.
Pretty safe about using American, yeah. For most breeds, you're probably okay in any of the airline, with the ones that, but.
They do it all the time. I mean, it's not like it's a rare thing. It's not.
No,
like
I know. Yeah. I know. I remember when my friend moved to the UK and she had to, she went with this company that specialized in moving your pets, mm-hmm. because there was all kinds of logistics. And if you didn't do it right, you could be quarantined on the other end. And,
she, 6 months.
Yeah. And, she did that with her cat. But even then she said that the cat didn't do well with that. Mm-hmm. And, she wouldn't, that's one of the reasons.
Cats don't do well when you move to another house in the same neighborhood.
They're like, I can't run.
Yeah. I don't understand. You guys are jerks. So is there an option ever to buy a seat for your dog? Or if you have them in the plane with you.
Or your peacock?
If you have them in the plane with you.
You can't have them sit on the seats because of the, even if you bought the seat next to you, they would still have to be on the floor under the seat in front of it because of pet allergies.
Okay.
And they can't clean the plane for pet allergies between flights. Not enough time. They can barely get the trash out of the pockets the next flight. So what ended up happening on my flight, I was expecting this big to-do about, I had his papers ready, like we were immigrating or something. Mm-hmm. I had his visa, his little doggy
passport.
Tourist card. Yeah, and I'm like, tourist card, I'm right there, gonna confiscate him. And I'm like, I already had a backup car. This is how paranoid I had a backup car reservation. I was ready to drive one way.
I'm really glad you didn't
have to do that.
Just in case to Seattle for like 3 days in a car with a puppy. If they wouldn't take it, probably would cost like $1,000 after gas. So I get up to the gate and I'm expecting them to weigh him and measure him and look at the carrier, and all anybody did was, oh my God, he's so cute. Nobody wanted to see a paper, but have everything ready just in case, because if your dog's not as cute as mine.
Yeah, one of those ugly dogs.
And whose dog really is as cute as
you? Even those ugly dogs, you might have a little harder time.
If you got like an annoying yappy dog.
I just really, when you were posting about his weight and everything, all I really wanted them to do was put one of those heavy bag tags on his carrier. Caution, extra heavy.
Then you see his little head, like, he's so tiny. How can he weigh so much?
He doesn't look that tiny.
He has to do the fat walk of shame.
Oh. Fat walked off the airplane. So I got really
bad. I can't even go to the airplane.
I have a question about, you were saying that they have to fit under the seat, even if they're a bigger dog, but I see, seeing eye dogs or, those kinds of service dogs that are not, they don't seem small enough to fit under the seat.
That's different. That's an actual service dog, and they have to sit in front of them or sit on their lap.
Oh.
For the service and the emotional support dogs, I think there's a different, there are different regulations for that. This is for flying a pet.
Okay.
If you're, if he's not a, so I did kind of break the law in the air a little bit, but they let me take him. I wasn't supposed to take him out, but he was having trouble breathing because of the altitude. And he was panting. And it was really hot in the plane. And I couldn't, like, down on the floor, he couldn't get air. Mm-hmm. He couldn't get by the air vents. So I ended up picking him out of the thing and putting him on my lap. And he did, for quite a while, sit on my lap. And the lady came by a couple times. She's like, all right, I can see he's in distress, but just don't set him on the seat because... Yeah. Allergies. So,
and I gotta tell you, I have seen so many pets fly, and everybody breaks that rule. Every single person.
Your baby is panting, and you're gonna pick every, it up.
It's very common.
He was, his gums were changing color. I was really worried about him. He's like,
I wouldn't be able to look at my dog and not pick them up either. I can imagine the face they'd be making.
Well, and it's such an unusual... It's not like you can practice this. I mean, unless you're fortunate enough to have an airplane body in your backyard.
There was no dry run.
Yeah.
There was no dry run for this. This was like, here's his brand new harness. Is this going to fit? How is this kennel? I was negotiating, and then this sweet lady, I don't know if she ever finds this podcast. I hope I'm not shaming her, but it's kind of funny. I'm sitting on the bench, and on the other end of the bench is this lady, this wonderful woman, and she's watching me, and I'm negotiating with Watson. I'm like, all right, Watson, you fatted, you got something to eat, you got something to drink, and you pottied, and now I'm hungry, and I need to get something to eat before I get on this plane, so you have to go in your kennel, and then we can go in the restaurant. And, you know, I'm talking to the dog like a crazy person. And she's like, oh, honey, you're so sweet. I'm going to be sitting here for quite a while. I'll watch him for you. Really, lady? While I go around the corner, down like 4 feet out of your eyesight, and you get something to eat, you're gonna watch my newborn puppy.
So do you want to hear something really bad? I did that with my newborn kid.
Did you really?
Okay. So I was going to these classes at church that you have to do to get your kid baptized. And he was like 2 months old because we actually waited a little while to get him baptized in the Catholic Church. But anyway, well, normally you do early, but we were doing it with family could be there. Anyway, I digress. So he's crying and he's fussing while I'm in this class. And so I got up and I walked to the back of the thing, and this woman came up to me and she's like, oh, honey, I will hold him. Do you want me to hold him? My kids are all grown. Let me just take him off your hands, and then you can listen to the class. And I'm like, thank you so much. Here's my child. And then I went back and sat down, and I couldn't even, like, listen to what... Well, all they were saying was, like, don't baptize your kid and then never take him to church.
All they were saying was, don't leave your kid with some stranger in the back of the church.
And I was like, oh, my God, if somebody wanted to like... if somebody wanted to steal a kid, what better place would you make someone feel so comfortable? The church, you know? So I couldn't even... And that wasn't the only time I did it either. Fox doesn't listen to this.
Let's go back to pets. So Lindsay, how much did this cost? How much is the underseat passage for a pet?
What I paid for Alaska was $100 for one way. Now, it would have been $100 each way had I been doing a round trip, but American is $125, JetBlue is $100, and then Southwest is $95, and that's per way. So, and JetBlue...
Under your seat?
That's
for the underseat. And JetBlue even has their own official, like, JetBlue dog carrier that you can buy for $50 at the airport. So, and it's exact dimensions of underneath their seats.
That's marketing genius right there.
And that's the biggest thing, is each airline has a different size requirement for this carrier. So if you're not getting a carrier that can, like, compress and then expand or something, if you're going to get one that's stationary, I definitely recommend soft-sided. Don't do a hard side. You'll be sad. It won't fit underneath that lip when you're trying to get underneath there. But pay really close attention to those size requirements, because if they change the seats or they change each plane has different, you know, different requirements.
I have a question. Do they do any of these carriers have wheels? Because you're talking about a 20-pound dog and then, like, your other crap that you're hauling, too.
Yeah, mine did not. And I actually have a very interesting picture of me with the dog and the carrier and two suitcases. A suitcase and a wheel and a book bag. And we're hanging out down by the luggage carousel playing Are You My Daddy? Walks by, we're waiting for Josh to come. Watson's like, Are You My Daddy? So cute.
Roger was bungee corded to the top of the suitcase.
So I didn't come across in my research of a Pacaria, which was very extensive, actually. It was crazy. I did not come across one with wheels, but the breeder that I actually bought him from has one with wheels that she got at a yard sale for like $10. So they're out there somewhere. I just didn't want the added weight. I was doing the weight math, and they have to have, the other thing about the carriers, they have to have a hard side bottom, you know, so it can't be soft on all four sides. You got to have something hard so that they're not flopping around. go up like a little, you know, tent, grocery bag around them when you're trying to carry them. But then they also have to be a waterproof bottom. So if there is an accident, it's not on the carpet in the airplane. So you have to be really careful what you get.
Did you have anybody who was upset that the dog was on the plane? Did you encounter?
I think I had some people that were upset that they couldn't hold him.
That's always how I feel. I'm like, I really want to ask
if I can hold him. And I have never walked through TSA like that in my life. Like, if I could take a puppy every time I flew,
puppies are the key. They're the gateway to anything. Like, if you have a puppy with you, the world is your
chick
oyster.
Magnet.
That was the you know, I just cannot even believe. And she's like, oh, just carry him. And I'm like, but he had a harness on with metal. She's like, that's fine.
Wow.
He's this new brand of cocaine mule.
my little cuddle mule. Oh, but he was so good too. I got really lucky. He was very sleepy and just snuggly. And now he's a few weeks older and a little more wiggly. I don't think it would have been as easy.
Well, he's probably a little out of sorts from just meeting you. You know, now he knows that he can nibble on your feet.
Yeah.
No, this lady just kidnapped me.
Yeah, exactly. Where's my mom?
We kind of kidded about it, but, you know, I think it's important to restate that it's really important that people check with the airline they're flying and look at their regulations.
Yes.
And make really sure, because you don't want to depend on, you know, you said that there were people that were nice to you. They you can't depend on any of that. And nor can you say, well, my friend said, or.
Yeah, no. And so in doing research for this, but leading up to this, I had some sleepless nights worrying about if I was going to get turned around and be turned away, because I was reading horror stories of people who had gotten to the gate and, you know, something wasn't right, didn't have the right paper, didn't have the right whatever. So yeah, check your specific airline carrier. And then also when you're talking to, either when your travel agent is talking to the airline for you, or when you're talking to the airline, they need to make sure that the type, I want to say model, and it's so funny because my husband works for Boeing and he's going to listen to this and laugh, and I don't know what to call it. Like the 787 or the 737, the type of plane it's on. You want to make sure each one has its own specific size under that seat. So you really have to pay attention to those.
Yeah, it's not one of those places where you can trust your cousin Larry who flew with his dog 3 years ago, because 3 years ago was 3 years ago. Yeah. The airline was probably a different airline.
It could have changed from last month, so definitely.
Now, I will say this, that bag that I bought is called a Sturdy Bag. I absolutely love it. I'm not endorsed by them.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. But if you go, you know, if you go look up reviews and stuff, if you can show a picture of a carrier that you have that fits underneath the seat on the plane, they, you know, I've been told that have one. So I had one ready on my phone. I had a picture of somebody else's dog in that specific carrier on an Alaska Airlines flight, fitting underneath the seat, all geared up on my phone, ready to show somebody if they gave me a problem about the carrier, because I have one of those ones that looks bigger, but then you can bend the bars down to get it underneath, and then it pops up.
You know, I I think you were fine. Even if he was 19 pounds, you probably wouldn't have gotten in trouble. I think it's more for, like, the 28-pound dogs that they're trying to pass off as a 20-pound
dog. Well, and I mean, even I think we've all had that bag that's supposed to be 50 pounds that was really 52 that they just put the little heavy tag on and let go through. They'll let it slide, so a few pounds. Yeah, yeah. I do wish they'd given him a little heavy tag, though. That would have been hilarious.
Yeah, a little heavy
tag.
Wait.
Little bruiser dog. She's sweet.
All right. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com and click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or search for Fly Away. And be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes and follow What's On Would Be on Instagram. On behalf of Lindsay, Elizabeth, Laura, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel this week, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!